Dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, here in this beautiful hall and at home following us, we are going now to start this ceremony. I would like to welcome you all and those, as I said, who follow us from home to this solemn ceremony to commemorate World Humanitarian Day, which this year is held under the theme End to Attacks on Humanitarians and Civilians and End of Impunity under International Humanitarian Law. As you all know, on 19th of August 2003, a bomb attack to the UN premises at the Baghdad Canal Hotel killed 22 of our colleagues, humanitarian aid workers, local workers, and wounded many more. Many of the survivors are here with us today, as are the families and some fallen colleagues. And I would like to recognize them here. I'll see them sitting here. Welcome. 5 years later, the General Assembly adopted a resolution designating 19th of August as World Humanitarian Day. Therefore, on this day, this year, like every other year, the Geneva community comes together to pay tribute to those whose life has been destroyed in the line of duty, to celebrate those who work on the front lines of crisis, and to reaffirm our solidarity with the millions of people whose survival depends on humanitarian assistance. As the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has pointed out in his statement for today, humanitarian teams are the last lifeline for over 300 million people impacted by conflict and disaster. However, I don't need to stress with you that this year's commemoration comes amid unprecedented challenges. Humanitarian operations are increasingly under attack. Resources are stretched and needs are escalating globally. This is why it's so important for us to celebrate this day, here, today, and together, and to express our solidarity and our will to take action to defend humanitarians worldwide. So let's start this ceremony by honoring colleagues who have lost their life in the line of duty. I would like to invite Tatiana Valovaya, UN Geneva Director General, Tom Fletcher, Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, and Nada Al-Nashif, Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, to come and lay flowers on the table. Now I would like to invite Mrs. Laura Johnson, Executive Secretary of the UN Geneva Staff Union, to join our guests and together light the four candles. Thank you very much. And now I would like to invite the representatives of the survivors, families, and friends of the victims of the attack to the UN office in Baghdad to come in front and pay tribute to their loved ones by laying also flowers on the smaller table. And now, let me invite His Excellency Mr. Abdulkarim Hashim Mostafa, Permanent Representative of the Republic of Iraq to the United Nations, to come also to the front and lay flowers on the table. Let us all join to remember those who perished on the 19th of August 2003. Thank you very much. I would like now to invite everybody to regain their seats. Thank you again. So let us continue this solemn ceremony by hearing some statements from our colleagues. I will start by inviting Mrs. Tatiana Valovaya, Director General of UN Geneva, to come and deliver her remark. Director General.
Dear humanitarian workers, dear survivors of attacks on humanitarian workers, dear families and friends of colleagues lost in humanitarian service, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues and friends, today, as every year, we gather to commemorate World Humanitarian Day and to pay tribute to all our colleagues who have given their lives in the service of humanity. We honor their courage, their unwavering dedication, and the values they stood for. Behind me, the memorial plaques remind us of the devastating attack in Baghdad in 2003, where 22 UN staff members, including the UN Special Representative of the Secretary General for Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello, were killed, and of the tragedy in Algiers in 2007, where we lost 17 more members of the United Nations family. They are no longer with us, but their legacy lives on. Their sacrifice and commitment will stay forever in our hearts and inspire generations to come. Sadly, the list of names keeps growing. Humanitarian workers across the world are being killed, injured, and kidnapped in unprecedented numbers, with each year tragically more deadly than the last. In 2024 alone, more than 380 humanitarian workers lost their lives, and 2025 is on track to be even worse. These are not just numbers. They're individuals, people with families, with dreams, and with an extraordinary commitment to make the world a better place. I invite you all, those here in Geneva, and those following us virtually, to join me in a moment of silence in memory of the humanitarian colleagues we have lost. Thank you. I am deeply honored and humbled to welcome to the Palais de Nation today some of the survivors and family members of the victims of attacks against humanitarian workers. A heartfelt thank you to Mr. Dafer Yunis Al-Husseini, who will shortly share with us his memories and reflections of the Baghdad Canal Hotel bombing. It is also a privilege to be joined today by the United Nations Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Mr. Tom Fletcher, the United Nations Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, Ms. Nada Al-Nashif, the permanent representative of the Republic of Iraq to the United Nations Office and other international organizations in Geneva, His Excellency Mr. Abdul Karim Hashim Mustafa, and the Executive Secretary of the UNOC Staff Union, Ms. Laura Johnson. I also take this opportunity to welcome the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Mr. Filippo Grandi. Ladies and gentlemen, the increasing number of conflicts and fragile situations around the world today is placing humanitarian workers in situations of grave risk. Day after day, our colleagues are being targeted for doing their jobs, protecting civilians, providing food, shelter, and health care, delivering infrastructure support, and more. This is unacceptable. International humanitarian law must be respected. Attacks on UN staff and humanitarian workers must stop. Their protection must be ensured. Impunity must not be tolerated. Humanitarian workers are the face of the United Nations and the broader humanitarian community. Their commitment is a source of hope for millions, and their dedication strengthens our resolve to ensure that humanitarian workers everywhere are protected and supported in their vital work. Today, we recognize the importance and courage of the humanitarian community, the risks they face, and the sacrifices they make. Ladies and gentlemen, in the face of shrinking resources, growing mistrust, and increasingly volatile world, let us recommit to what unites us at the United Nations and in the wider humanitarian community: a shared desire to help others and build a better world. As we remember the brave colleagues we have lost and honor those who continue their work despite immense risks, we must ensure that their sacrifices are not in vain. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Director General Valovaya, for your important works and your appeal. I would now like to invite Mr. Tom Fletcher, Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, to come to the rostrum for his speech. USG.
Thank you, Director General. Dear survivors, families, especially the families, excellencies and colleagues, we are here to grieve and to honor those we have lost. They are the best of us. Humanitarians carry hope where there is despair. They are selfless in a selfish world. They seek to mend what others seek to break. They bring humanity where there is inhumanity. Yet from that day in Baghdad till now, the best of us are under attack. Last year, more than 380 humanitarians were killed. Not dead, killed. The highest ever recorded. Hundreds more wounded, kidnapped, detained. In Gaza, 520 aid workers, mostly UNRWA staff, killed since October 2023. The deadliest place for humanitarians for the second year running. This number doesn't even touch the hundreds of staff who've lost family members. My colleague, Zayed, whose wife Ola was killed in our guest house. In Sudan, 60 colleagues lost their lives, over double the year before. These include my colleague, Sadiq, killed in Al-Fashir in November. Already this year, hundreds more names, each with a family, each with a story. And this is more than a statistical spike. It is a stain. The normalization of violence against this community. Each attack on a colleague is an attack on all of us. And we do not accept it. Enough. Zero accountability. An indictment of international inaction and apathy. The member states must not accept it. Enough. As a humanitarian movement, we demand the protection of civilians and aid workers, and we demand that perpetrators are held to account. Humanitarians will not retreat despite these dangers. Last year, despite the risks, we reached more than 116 million people. Families fed, children in school, sick people cured, communities protected. We will not let down those we serve. It is our way of honoring those who died in 2003 and who have been killed since. But you, the international community, must also not let us down. So we grieve again those we lost and those we continue to lose. We honor those who defy the dangers. We demand their protection and an end to impunity. And we commit afresh to this mission, whatever the risks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and the Secretary General Fletcher, for this statement, for these appalling figures that give us a better picture of the attacks against humanitarians and for your commitment and call. I would like now to invite Mrs. Nada Al-Nashif, Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, to come to the Rose Room to deliver a statement.
Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, dear friends, cherished families, honored to add my voice in paying tribute to those who have lost their lives in the service of others and to the thousands of colleagues who are working in difficult and dangerous circumstances around the world. On a visit to Baghdad last month, I managed to find some personal closure. More than two decades after the attack that we mark today, I retraced my steps on that fateful day, recalling the remarkable colleagues we lost, whom we will remember and mourn always. But as you've just heard, attacks and killings of humanitarian workers have risen sharply over recent years in utter disregard for international law and in flagrant violation of the Geneva Conventions and the protections that are embedded in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. These violations are taking place in Afghanistan, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Haiti, Sudan, Ukraine, and elsewhere. In Yemen, 23 United Nations staff and five NGO workers have been detained or held incommunicado for more than 2 years now, including eight of my own colleagues. We honor them and their families as we continue to work for their immediate and unconditional release. In Gaza alone, also as you've heard, over 400 aid workers, including 340 UNRWA staff, have been killed since October 2023. And we continue to witness unspeakable daily tragedies, images that, in the words of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, constitute an affront to our collective humanity. The weaponization of food, in addition to restricting or preventing civilian access to life-sustaining services, constitute a war crime. People seeking aid must be able to access it in safety and dignity. Attacks directed against civilians constitute a grave breach of international law. They must stop, and we need accountability for these crimes. Distinguished delegates, dear friends and families, the very idea of impartial, independent, neutral humanitarian action is being misused, undermined, and attacked. As we navigate this complex and challenging environment, there is an urgent need for all of us to come together to defend the international standards, the norms, and the values that govern our work. All member states and all those responsible for adhering to the rules of war need to ensure they are upheld everywhere and at all times for everyone. International law is not optional, nor is it a luxury to be discarded when times are tough. International humanitarian and human rights law were born out of horrific circumstances and sacrifices that we honor today as we stand in solidarity with all humanitarian workers, and every day through our work to strengthen and renew our commitment to multilateralism and to an effective, robust, and vibrant United Nations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear Deputy High Commissioner. I've been knowing you for a long time. I didn't know you were a survivor of that terrible day. Thank you very much for your statement, and thanks for reminding us of the importance of accountability in the framework of international humanitarian law. I would now like to invite His Excellency Mr. Abdul Karim Hashim Mustafa, Permanent Representative of the Republic of Iraq, to come to the rostrum to deliver a statement.
Dear Madame DeMillo, dear survivors of the terrorist attack, Excellencies, distinguished guests. On the 19th of August each year, Iraq solemnly recalls a tragedy engraved in our national memory and in the collective conscience of the international community. The terrorist attack on the United Nations headquarters in Baghdad in 2003. This heinous act claimed the life of Secretary General's Special Representative, Mr. Sergio De Mello, along with a number of dedicated humanitarian workers. It was a direct assault on the mission of the United Nations, yet it also strengthened the international community's resolve to protect humanitarian personnel wherever they serve. 6 years later, on the 19th of August, 2003, Iraq endured another devastating terrorist attack on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Baghdad, which took the lives of 45 of our cherished colleagues and injured nearly 600 others. We pay heartfelt tribute to the resilience of our colleagues who returned to their duties with renewed determination, manifesting our nation's resolve to resist forces of darkness and to deny violence in our society. Today, as Iraq advances along its path toward peace and sustainable development, we place humanitarian action and the safeguarding of humanitarian personnel at the top of our priorities. The statistics from recent years reveal the grave dangers faced by humanitarian personnel. In 2024 alone, more than 370 lost their lives worldwide. And since the beginning of this year, 24 more have perished, most of them in conflict zones such as Gaza and Sudan, bringing the total number more than 400 lives lost in less than 2 years, the highest toll in recent memory. Beyond these tragic figures lies a deeper reality. Persistent challenges, restriction, harassment, and unfounded accusation faced by humanitarian organizations such as UNRWA in Palestine under the policies of the occupying power. These are not only members, they are stories of lives devoted and ultimately sacrificed in service of the highest ideals, of families mourning beloved sons and daughters, of communities deprived of compassion in their most desperate hours. They are a call to conscience, urging us to strengthen protection mechanisms, hold accountable those who violate international humanitarian law, ensure accountability for perpetrators, and guarantee that humanitarian assistance reaches those in need safely, swiftly, and with dignity. On this World Humanitarian Day, Iraq stands in full solidarity with all humanitarian workers. We salute their courage and dedication, and we pledge our full support to all international efforts aimed at safeguarding their life and enabling them to carry out their noble mission. May the souls of the martyrs of humanitarian service rest in peace. And may the values of compassion and solidarity continue to guide us to build a more human and peaceful world. I thank you.
Thank you very much, dear Mr. Ambassador. As you have heard and seen, we have with us a certain number of those who survived this terrible attack in 2003, and I want to recognize them: Mr. Dafer Al-Husseini, Mrs. Shaobo Taher Al-Talabani, Mrs. Carol Ray, Mrs. Elpida Ruka, Mr. Jason Pronik, Mrs. Nada Al-Nashif, and families of those who have perished. Laura Dolci could not be with us, but her son, Mattia Selim Canan, is with us, and Mrs. Annie Vieira de Mayo. And I would like now to invite Mr. Dafer Al-Husseini and thank him to come to the rostrum and share a few words with us of this terrible day and his insights. Thank you very much, Mr. Al-Husseini.
Director and survivors, colleagues, every 19th of August cast a long, ashing shadow. 20 years ago, on that black day in 2003, we lost 22 colleagues in the bombing of the UN office at the Canal Hotel in Baghdad. In an instant, their voices were silenced, their laughter stilled, their dreams cut short, but definitely their memory never faded. It beats within us in every act of justice, every moment of courage, every quiet promise to carry on. I was there, one of the few national officers who chose to stay when others, understandably, left. The fear was real, the grave crushing, but something held me, a duty, a bond, a fire inside that refused to let their memory fade into silence. I stayed, not as a hero, but as a witness, as someone who believed then, as I still do, that serving humanity is more than a job. It's a call, an act of faith in the dignity of people, even in their darkest hour. In those days before the attack, I remember listening to the radio and hearing the voice that seemed to echo a sorrow and hope of our people. It was the voice of a well-known singer called Karma Sahar, singing "We Want Peace," broadcast across the radios in Iraq. His words were a cry from the heart of a wounded nation, a play for a unity, dignity, and healing. I listened to that song countless times. It gave a voice to what many of us felt but could not say. Amid trouble, amid to blood, it was a whisper of hope, a reminder that even when peace seemed very far, we had not given up on it. That same year, we began to rebuild physically, emotionally, and institutionally. From the ashes of the Canal Hotel in Baghdad, we lead the foundation for the UN Human Rights Office in Iraq. That office became more than a place of work. It became sacred ground. We give our strength, our health, our years of exile. We give it our heart. For us, this mission was a personal, a promise to our fallen colleagues that we would carry their light forward. Over two decades, I witnessed unspeakable suffering, mass displacement, sectarian violence, assassination, threat, and terror. But I also witnessed something just as powerful, the silence. I saw a young Iraqi raise for justice, survivors rebuild their lives, and victims became advocates. And I saw my colleagues silent, steadfast, stand by those who needed them, not for a price, but because it was right. Over all these years, I still believe in the words of Sergio Di Millo when he said that UN at its best when it stays on the ground, when it listens, when it stands with the people. Sergio knew that humanity isn't abstract, is not written in slogans or spoken in conference rooms. It's lived in presence, in compassion, in refusing to walk away. Let this anniversary be not only time of mourning, but also a call for action. We, the survivors, those who stayed and those who left, carry responsibility, a moral duty, to ensure that Iraq is not forgotten, that sacrifice of our colleague was not in vain. The dream of the justice and dignity lives on. Let's pay tribute not only to the fallen, but to the living, the brave colleagues who remained. The communities we served, let us carry forward the principles of humanity, not in a word alone, but in heart, in memory, and in the choice we make every day. Let us not only mourn the past, let us protect the future, as is our duty. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arussini, for sharing with us your remembering and also these very heartfelt words. Last but definitely not least, now I would like to give the floor to Mrs. Laura Johnson, Executive Secretary of the Staff Union of UN Geneva.
This is the third year that I've had the honor of delivering a statement on behalf of the humanitarians that I represent, and I think it may be the hardest year for those humanitarians. I'm not a humanitarian in my day job, and so it can be hard to know what to say to adequately recognize the staff who were victims and survivors of the terrible Canal Hotel bombing, how to more broadly commemorate humanitarians around the world, especially those who end up paying the ultimate price, and how to effectively make a call for action to save the lives of humanitarians today. This year, the staff federation that our union is a member of, CISWA, which employs many thousands of the humanitarians who work across the UN system, has issued a statement. And so I would like to echo the main points of that statement. The theme of this year's Humanitarian Day, Act for Humanity, is a call to leaders and to the public to confront the normalization of attacks on civilians, including humanitarians, and the impunity that undermines international humanitarian law. It's a call to build public support, to pressure all parties to conflict and world leaders to act to protect civilians and humanitarian workers. We pay special tribute to our Palestinian colleagues in Gaza, where more than 300 UN staff have been killed since October 2023, which is the highest toll in UN history. They continue to serve under unimaginable conditions, often enduring the same loss, hunger, and insecurity as the communities they assist. At the same time, the humanitarian space itself is under grave threat. Severe funding cuts are forcing agencies to scale back life-saving programs and reduce their workforce. Structural reforms and discussions of mergers raise additional fears that humanitarian action may lose its independence, becoming subordinated to political or migration management agendas. For staff on the ground, this translates into uncertainty, heavier risks, and the erosion of trust. We call for stronger protection of humanitarian workers, accountability for attacks, adequate funding for principled action, and genuine consultation of staff on reforms that affect the future of humanitarian response. The future of humanitarian action is at stake. To protect it, we must act for humanity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear Laura, for these words and for representing all the staff here. Dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of this solemn ceremony. I would like to express our gratitude to all of you who have participated in this event, either in person here or also virtually. And I would like to thank my colleagues who have organized this ceremony. All those of you who would like to wish and honor the memory of those who have lost their lives, at the end of the ceremony, please come here. There are little candles on the table, and you're welcome to light one and put it and leave it there on the table. For everyone here and at home who wish to continue advocating for the protection of humanitarian workers, I'd like to invite you to please join the global campaign, hashtag Act for Humanity, which the United Nations are relaunching today with sharper urgency, demanding protection, accountability, and action. So let me close this ceremony with the words of the Secretary General in his statement for today's commemoration. The Secretary General tells us, on this World Humanitarian Day, let's honor the fallen, but let's honor them with action. To protect every aid worker and invest in their safety. To stop the lies that cost lives. To strengthen accountability and bring perpetrators to justice. To end arms flows to parties that violate international law. Together, let us say in one voice, an attack on humanitarians is an attack on humanity. Let's act for humanity. Thank you very much. A good evening to you all.